Hey there, nurse friends. What if one decision could change your career, boost your confidence, and improve patient outcomes? Specialty certification is more than a credential. It's an investment in your clinical expertise, your patients, your profession, and most importantly, in yourself. BCEN understands the commitment it takes to become board certified, from the time spent studying to the cost of exams and continuing education. But the payoff? Well, it's huge. Certified nurses report greater clinical confidence, access to leadership roles, higher compensation, and the ability to truly practice at the top of their specialties. And when nurses thrive, patients benefit through better care, better outcomes, and greater satisfaction. Want to hear how certification changed real nurses' lives? Visit bcen.org/invest to watch their stories and start your own journey. That's bcen.org/invest. Hey, nurses. Welcome to the Nurse Dot Podcast, giving nurses validation, resources, and hope one episode at a time. Today on Nurse Dot Podcast,
I will never make the mistake of believing that only one personality type will make it in emergency nursing, because I have been shown that you can be just the most gentlest, kindest soul and you can make it in emergency nursing, just as you can be the most stoic, maybe a little more crotchety. You can still survive in emergency nursing too. So personality-wise, we can span the spectrum.
Joining us today, Holly Briggs, an emergency and trauma nurse turned professional development specialist with the Board of Certification for Emergency Nursing. As the host of the BCEN and Friends podcast and a nationally recognized leader, she's helping shape the future of nursing education and practice. I'm your host, Kara Lunsford, registered nurse and VP of Community at nurse.com. Holly.
Yes, Kara.
I'm happy to see you. I'm really excited to talk about BCEN. I'm really excited to talk about being a certified emergency room nurse. I'm a big fan. First of all, I'm a big fan of getting your certification. I'm a big fan of you. And when I worked in pediatric oncology. So I got my CPHON certification, pediatric hematology oncology nurse certification. I was so proud to wear the little like sticker on my badge. So excited that I got this like little felty sticker thing.
As you should be.
Very excited.
Yeah.
So no. I'd love to first have you just like introduce yourself so that we can learn a little bit more about you, your career in healthcare, and how you got into the BCEN. And then we'll kind of jump in and we'll talk a little bit about like certification in general, why it's important, what it does for your career and all of that.
Sure. So hi, I'm Holly Briggs. I am a professional development specialist at BCEN, or the Board of Certification for Emergency Nursing. I've been with BCEN as a full-time employee for 3 years. I just had my work anniversary in August of this year, my three-year one. And so prior to that, I've been a nurse for 17 years. My experience mainly was in the emergency department. That's really where I've been my entire career, from new grad all the way until I started my full-time job here with BCEN. And I loved emergency nursing. I mean, truthfully, because I'm an ER nurse, I fully recognize that there are just a ton of specialties in nursing, and to each and every one, I have such respect, because I constantly would give my patients to someone else, and I need those nurses to be willing to take those patients from me, because that is really, you know, probably one of the saddest parts of emergency nursing is when you have to hold on to people forever. And really, I loved the ability to stabilize, treat, and then hopefully move them along in their continuum of care. So I have a lot of respect for the nurses who kind of take my hand off and keep things going. So, however, emergency nursing really was and still is my passion. And so that's kind of where I landed. I kind of got on my journey for certification when I moved. I was working at a hospital. I'm from Louisiana, side note. So if I mention names of towns, you may or may not be familiar with them. One I know most people know. I worked in New Orleans in the beginning part of my career. And when I moved to my hometown now, which is Baton Rouge, I started working in a new hospital. And during the kind of that transition was kind of really the first time that I had a leader talk to me about becoming certified. And I was like, wow, never really thought about it before. And so obviously I see how important it is to have leadership kind of bringing in that motivation or even just encouragement to grow professionally. So that's probably a side note and anecdotal side note to leaders out there. You really do make a difference when you talk to people about how to grow themselves professionally. And so I thought, man, maybe she's right. Maybe I should become certified. And so I looked into what that kind of looked like. I began to study, had to learn a lot. And once I sat and passed for my CEN, which is a certified emergency nurse certification, once I sat and passed for that, I thought, man, I learned so much and I feel like I can recognize things faster. I was suddenly very motivated to try for another one. And so 3 years consecutively, I got my certified emergency nurse, then I got my certified pediatric emergency nurse, and I got my trauma certified registered nurse, all three of those certifications, which I still hold today. Because once you get them, it's really, you want to keep them, at least in my world. And so that's really how I began to kind of understand what nursing certification looked like, what it meant, the value in it personally, but also be kind of what I saw across nursing. And I really began to realize that there's so many specialties in nursing, and that since I identified myself as an emergency nurse, I really should kind of buy into becoming that professional emergency nurse. And certification was a way for me to do that. And like I said, once I started doing that, I was like, oh, this is great. And I definitely encouraged people around me. And then I had the opportunity in 2020 to become a volunteer for BCN. And I worked on their practice exam. I began item writing for them, which is a whole different set of skills that I did not have. And through that, I again just learned a lot about what it takes to create a certification, what it takes to maintain a certification. Had some really great opportunities that BCN allowed me to be a part of. And I just felt really kind of honored and humbled that they would even like want me to work on something as tremendous as a certification and things, you know, that I find really valuable. And long story short, in 2022, I got offered a job to come on full time, and I've been doing it ever since. And tell people it's really awesome to find something that you're passionate about that you get to do every single day. So I think as a nurse, yes, hopefully most nurses feel that way when you go into your unit. I definitely feel that way every time I wake up and get to work. So
that's awesome. I agree with you. I think that we have so many opportunities as nurses, and sometimes they go beyond the bedside, and they still have a tremendous impact. I think sometimes people think, oh, if I leave direct patient care and I go into education or I go into another area, that somehow I'm not having the same impact. And that is wholly untrue. The fact that you are over here helping to write curriculum and write tests and help nurses to get certified is only helping the end recipient, which is the patient, of their care. So, and also, I completely agree. When you're in nursing school, you are learning a little bit of everything, just enough to kind of get by. So that once you pick a specialty, and it used to be that nurses all went into med-surg, stayed there for a few years, and then moved into a specialty. That's not the case anymore. There a lot of times, right? Like a lot of times nurses are graduating and going straight into a specialty. I did. I skipped med surg. I didn't do it. So I think that even more importantly, if you know that this is what you want to do and this is what you're passionate about and you're like, I think emergency room nurses, just like in other specialties, emergency room nurses are a certain breed of people. It's true, right? They're a little adventurous. They're a little.
I agree. I will.
How would you categorize an emergency room nurse? What type of person are they?
Well, I would say that really it takes all personality types. I will never make the mistake of believing that only one personality type will make it in emergency nursing, because I have been shown that you can be just the most gentlest, kindest soul and you can make it in emergency nursing, just as you can be one maybe the most stoic kind of, you know, maybe a little more crotchety. You can still survive in emergency nursing too. So personality wise, we can span the spectrum of personalities. What I will say is that I have found that emergency nurses in general just have the ability to constantly be reprioritizing and putting things that on a normal, maybe a more stable unit, you would be like, oh, we really need to do that now. And in the ER, you'd be like, we'll get to that next. And so that constant ability to have your attention be moving about and being okay with there being a bit of chaos, controlled as much as possible, but the chaos, yep, that you can survive in that and thrive in that, which is not mm-hmm. for every single person and every single nurse. And so
you have to kind of be able to deal with fast pace change, definitely some element of being dynamic in your thinking.
What is that? It's the ability to integrate. I feel like a lot of change and a lot of information, working with very little in the beginning, but then constantly being able to take in what is changing with your patient, lab values that are coming in, new orders, new assessments, those kind of, just constantly being able to integrate that information and then pushing forward and honestly being okay with not always knowing everything, even when you hand that patient off, which can sometimes be pretty frustrating. I think as people, mm-hmm. we want to know the end of the story. I think we want to feel like, you know, we have some solid, yes, some solid closure. And a lot of times as an emergency nurse, you don't get a ton of closure. Sometimes it's just realizing that you did the best job that you could with the information that you had, and you're handing it off for someone else to maybe close that loop a little bit. But so you have to kind of be okay with that too, which not everybody is. That's okay, because we need all kinds of nurses.
Yeah, but it's important to know, like, if you're here listening to this podcast and you're like, that's me, then, you know, it's probably a good fit for you. And taking that next step, saying, hey, what are some things that, let's say you're a med-surg nurse and you're thinking about moving into emergency room nursing, okay? Emergency nursing. Let's say that you want to go to the BCEN. Are there some things that I could do as a nurse at the BCEN that would help me kind of prepare for potentially working in emergency medicine? Like, do we have some prep stuff, some things like quizzes and tests and things like that?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that I do love about BCN is we're not only trying to get you certified and keep you certified, we're also trying to provide some insight into what that might mean for your particular nursing journey. So on our website, we do have this thing called the nursing journey, and you you identify where you're at in your career. Maybe you're newly starting out, maybe you're a new graduate, maybe you're deciding a new career path, which I think is amazing that we work in a profession that offers the ability to pivot at any point in your career. I think that's one of the reasons why nursing is such a desirable field to get in. But again, we could spend time on that, but we won't. I'll try to stay focused. And so we have that.
There's no need to stay focused here, Holly. We divert all the time. We'll get to the end, but who knows how many detours we'll take.
yeah, I'm the perfect guest for this podcast, and apparently, because I will.
You really
will,
are.
I'll divert so quick.
It's like squirrel.
yes. And so in that nursing journey, you can kind of figure out like where you're at and how you want to navigate that. As far as maybe you've had some exposure to a specialty in nursing and you're thinking about becoming certified in that, or you're wanting to get a little bit of exposure and figure out if that's where you'd like to track. And it talks a lot about like how you can continually grow. And I think as nurses, when I started out from nursing school, I had this idea that once I got my RN, once I passed my NCLEX, like somehow I have arrived. And little did I know that, yes, you've arrived at the beginning. And so I appreciate this kind of, you know, digital map almost for nurses to kind of realize like it is a journey. Whatever point in your career that you're on, you can always change, pivot, and there's always room for growth. And so it does. It talks about certification. It talks about maintaining, you know, how to do that. It talks about different courses, different opportunities you can take. There's definitely some that we recommend within BCN itself, but then also some that are out there. There's lots of resources through government agencies to talk about things like disaster preparedness and things that maybe as a nurse on a med-surg floor, you might not have been as exposed to, but it's a good idea to kind of start wrapping your head around these concepts that can impact emergency nursing in real ways. And so I would say that that's one great resource. We do have another resource, and we mainly recommend it when we talk to students who are about to graduate nursing school, but I also think there's a place for it for people who are looking at maybe getting into emergency nursing. And we call it the ED Vantage Program, and it helps kind of new professionals, which I wish I would have done this when I was a new graduate. But it talks to you about, you know, certain courses to take to kind of prepare yourself for triage and, again, disaster preparedness. It talks about how the run of a unit may look, and it may be a bit different than either what you're used to or what you were exposed to in nursing school. And then it also talks about things like how to sit in on an interview, how to kind of talk about where your strengths are at and how to bring things forward. Because I do think that if you're coming from one unit to another, you bring strengths and experience with you that maybe that person that's sitting on the other side of the interview doesn't necessarily realize how valuable that could be. And I do think that whatever specialty of nursing you're in, you always bring with you to any new specialty of nursing, something that they probably need. I think for med-surg nurses, they're great at having the ability to manage, obviously, multiple patients. And then timeliness and trying to like group their orders together and do things in a certain way that really can be useful. I also think that they have the ability to learn about their patients and know about their patients and connect with people, which is a really important skill to be able to hone very quickly in the emergency department because you have such a short time frame with patients. And so that ability to connect and really make patients feel comfortable and trust in the care that you're about to give, because you're going to be giving it rapidly and you may not always have the time to explain every single thing. And so, again, I think there are ways that nurses can learn to market themselves that if they want to make a transition into a new specialty of nursing, they can do it well. And so, like I said, there's a couple of different resources that BCN has for nurses who are looking to maybe move into either emergency nursing or transport, flight, burn. It's a very specific trauma. And then, of course, pediatric emergency nursing. So there's different ways that we try to support professionals from the beginning when they're just getting into nursing, but then also as they move through nursing and maybe they're making a change. Who knows?
Who knows? Well, I think a lot of the things that you said really stuck out to me. It's really, really important to realize that as you're maybe entertaining the idea of moving into a new specialty, or if you're in that specialty already, how important it is to be seen as a leader, especially when people are coming into that specialty. I know for me, if I'm moving into a new specialty, I am going to gravitate to the person who has that certification. I'm going to naturally want them to be my mentor, to be my preceptor. I'm going to want to shadow that person. I'm going to want to ask that person questions. I also feel like when you wear that kind of badge of honor And that's really how I felt when I had my CPON certification. I felt like this is an open invitation for new nurses, people new to the specialty of pediatric hematology oncology. It for me, it was like, you can ask me questions. This is an open invitation for you to ask me questions. Now, I'm not saying that every single person who goes and gets their certification is naturally a leader or naturally an educator or naturally a preceptor. However, I would say that what they're saying by wearing this, you know, on their badge or showcasing it in some way, is that I have taken that extra step in truly understanding this area, this specialty, and I'm a resource for you.
I think you've described what I tell people about certified nurses is we don't know everything. Nobody does. But we're curious enough to ask questions and be okay with people asking us questions. And I think that allows there to be conversation from those maybe who aren't at that place in their career where they are certified yet. I remember being told like, oh, maybe you should become certified. And the more these nurses talked about what that looked like and why they did it, I felt myself going, yeah, that's me. That's who I am. And that's really what started my journey in certification, was seeing that, like, that type of curiosity, that type of desire to learn, that want to have the knowledge that is needed to take care of a patient in a very critical moment. I wanted to do that. And I wanted to be that type of nurse. And so I think when nurses have those credentials and they wear them and they're proud of them and they take pride in the hard work that they've and the effort that it takes to become certified, I think it does open the door for people to feel like, yeah, that's a person I can ask questions to. And if they don't know the answer, we'll find out together. I don't see that as anything but a great thing for patients and for the camaraderie that comes and the relationship building that comes within that nursing unit. I see it as a, you know, more than a twofold thing, but I see that both of those things will actually enhance the care that's being given and that community, you know, within that unit. This idea that we help one another, this idea that questions are okay, this idea that we're all learning together. And I think that's actually the culture that I would want to work in, right? And hopefully it's the culture that we can create with one another. So I 100% agree that, you know, the first time that I had my credentials placed on my badge, because one of the facilities I worked at, they had that, and I was precepting a new nurse, and we went into a patient room and the patient was like, oh, so what does that mean? I know what a BSN is. They were at least familiar enough to know what that was. And they were like, but I don't know what that CEN means. What does it mean? And so I told them, I was like, well, I'm a certified emergency nurse. And they were like, well, what does that mean? And I said, well, just like your providers and physicians can become board certified, so can nurses in the specialty in which they work. I said, so I'm an emergency nurse and I've become board certified in emergency nursing. So I studied really hard, took a pretty hard test, and I passed it. And so I get to wear these credentials as a sign of what I was able to do and perform. And then also I get a chance to continue to learn to keep them. So not only did I have to learn enough to pass tests, now I keep learning so that I can continue to show that I am a certified emergency nurse and I'm going to continue to do it. And I said, at the end of the day, hopefully that means I give you really good care. I said, but you know, you'll have to judge me at the end of this. And of course, when I left, when we walked out, the nurse that I was precepting, she was like, wow, I've never had a patient, you know, kind of like interaction like that. And I was like, well, sometimes when you open the door for them to be curious about you, it then also opens the door for you to be kind of have mutual curiosity about one another and ask questions. And I said, and look, he asked me questions and I was able to provide him, you know, with responses. I said, I think it's good for patients to be able to feel like they can both ask and receive questions back and forth. I said, it opens this very quick relationship that we're probably going to have with this patient. I said, but it's a good thing. It's a good thing for patients to feel that they're being taken care of by people who are validated in the knowledge that they have for why they're here.
Yep.
So,
yes, 100%. One of the things I was going to ask you about is we've talked a little bit about intrinsic motivation, right? Like that's this kind of, I want to be the best because I feel like that is what's important to me for my professional development, the nurse I want to be, the coworker I want to be, the type of care I want to provide, which is all kind of intrinsic motivation, right? We know that there are some of you nurses out there that are like, where's the money? It's true, though. I mean, we can sit here and be altruistic all day long. Many of us are. I think even if you are a little bit extrinsically motivated, that you still have that intrinsic motivation as well will give you the benefit of the doubt. But at the end of the day, there's definitely people who are like, look, I'm working, you know, my ass off. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. What are you going to give me so that I can, you know, justify doing all this extra work and all this extra, you know? And so in some situations, I think that it's important for nurses, if that is important to you, to be able to ask the questions of the institution in which you work. What do they do? How do they reimburse for it? Do they, like, what would you say to some of those nurses who are like, hey, I'm interested in this, but how do I go about figuring out whether or not it's really going to move the needle for me, for, you know, just even financially? Hey, nurses. Did you hear about the exciting news from the Board of Certification for Emergency Nursing? Well, as of August 2025, all six BCEN certification programs are now ABSNC accredited and magnet accepted, including adult and pediatric emergency, ground transport, flight, trauma, and now burn nursing certification. What does this mean for nurses? Accreditation validates your specialty certification, supports clinical ladder advancement, and shows you're practicing at the very top of your specialty. And for patients and families, it's an assurance that their nurse has proven expertise and is committed to delivering the best possible care. Learn more about specialty certification programs across the emergency nursing spectrum at bcen.org. That's bcen.org.
Well, no, I mean, Carrie, bring up a great point. I think that we could talk about like that inherent intrinsic inspiration that's required, I think, for anyone to stay in nursing for a long period of time and stay motivated. 100%. We could stay on there. To your point, there is that extrinsic motivation that is needed. And I really think that it's kind of a twofold point. I think what you have to ask is, what value does the facility or the organization see in professional development of their nurses? And I think that's a fair question as a nurse working in a facility or organization to ask, because you're not simply a warm body. You are doing healthcare on real human people that people care about. And so I think it's important as an employee to be curious as to what that looks like and where are the dollar and cents that's put behind that. And so there are some facilities that will reimburse, for you to take the exam. There are some facilities that take it a step further and they purchase vouchers and they don't even make you pay up front. They take care of the exam right when you take it. There are some that have reimbursement for not only study materials, but the exam itself. You can run the gamut as far as from a financial aspect. And I do think it's important for nurses to ask questions about financial fiduciary things, being responsible, because we are in this career for, hey, we want to help people. And also we want to take care of our families. We want to live hopefully a comfortable life. And I can definitely say as a nurse that I've benefited from having a career where I live in comfort. I'm able to take care of my family and be generous. And so I look at this and I say, it should be about both, right? It should be what was the facility willing to invest? And then also, how am I going to best show up as an employee to validate the value of what they're feeding into? So if I say, hey, I'm going to go sit for this exam, I'm not just going to show up and hope that I pass. I'm going to say, no, my facility is reimbursing me for the exam and they gave me a voucher. I'm going to study really hard. I am going to do everything I can do to be very prepared so I can be successful to it and show that this is a worthwhile investment in me as a professional. And, you know, there's plenty of white papers out there, plenty of studies to show that certification, it not only drives this idea of better care, but it also drives the perception of leadership. And it drives this idea that, like, certified nurses are viewed as nurses who are very engaged and who are willing to kind of go that extra mile. So I think it a twofold part. Where does organization see the value of cert? Like, are they willing to back it up with dollars and cents? But then also as employees, we look at it and go, they're investing in me. What can I do to show up and be a worthwhile investment for them? And sometimes, you know, some facilities, they don't really have a program set up or a current way that they're investing in it. And some of that is because nobody's asked, like, because nobody's gone to them and said, hey, have you guys thought about this? Have you guys considered putting in the budget for this? And, you know, my mom used to always say, you never know what the answer will be till you ask. So the answer might be no, but it may be that nobody's ever really asked for support, for financial support for this. And so, you know, I don't think nurses have a problem asking questions. So why would we have a problem asking questions when it comes to something that is and truly can be, it can move the needle for your growth. It really can. I could tell you more about some different research studies that I've even just recently looked at that show that certification is a really big professional development milestone and the impact that it can have. But anecdotally, I've seen it in my own career and I've seen how certification has changed the trajectory of where I thought I was going to end up. And I'm so grateful that it did. So I would say if a nurse is thinking about it, they're like, oh, you know, where are the dollars and cents? I would say not only maybe ask, but then also make sure that you're that worthwhile investment for that organization. So,
yes. And you know, it's now that I work in a corporate setting, we do things called investment proposals. You have an idea, you want something, you have an initiative that you think would be important. And the first thing that someone in executive leadership will say is, we'll put together an investment proposal. Tell us, like, why? Why should we invest in this, right? Since ChatGPT came on the scene, I'm just saying this for all you nurses out there who are like, I don't know how to do an investment. That's okay. You don't need to know how. So you can literally go into ChatGPT and say, I want to make this recommendation to my management, to administration. I think that we would have better retention. We'd have better engagement. We'd have better workplace satisfaction. We'd have better patient care. We'd have better outcomes. We would have all the things. And you feed that in to ChatGPT, your little chatty GPT.
Takes it all in.
You can name it. I don't care. And put it in there and say, I would like to recommend to my facility, my institution, that they invest in nurses getting their certifications, whether it be oncology certifications, whether it be emergency certifications, that my proposal and my hypothesis is that if they did this, that they would keep their nurses, they would actually attract probably more nurses to their institution if they're having hiring problems. And this is my solution. This is what I think the solution could be. Here's where I think they'd have to invest. This is how much money I think it might cost. But here, what's the return on investment? If you have less attrition, if you have better patient outcomes, so you have less liability, you have better patient satisfaction scores, better reimbursement, all of that stuff. So if you feed it in to ChatGPT guess what? It's going to like kick out a really cool, maybe 3 to 5 page investment proposal with a lot of those points in it. And you take that to your administration, you take it to your nurse manager, whoever, and you say, how do I get this maybe to the CNO? How do I get this all the way to the C-suite to talk about, yeah, right?
100%. And, you know, you and I care both know that we've sat on the other side and been asking for things, and we've sat on the side and we're being asked for things. And to me, I wanna give the opportunity and the chance to someone who looks like they've put time, effort, and energy, and they're really passionate about it. And even if it doesn't work out 100%, as the proposal says, I would much rather roll the dice on that than someone who just says, so what are you guys gonna, you know, do about this? I wanna get certified, like who's gonna pay for it? Like, while that's, you know, no questions, bad question, I would look at that and go, man, what a difference in the way that this is being brought. And I really say, like, man, one, I would really want to see how far I could move that idea and how much support I could have behind that. Cause I really do think that it really does start with that one nurse who says, I want to not only do something for me, but I want to do it for my fellow colleagues and the new nurses that are coming in the unit. And I want them to stay. And I know that retention is a huge focus for any organization, is how can you retain really high quality nursing staff? How can we keep them here? It's an investment to train a new nurse. It's an investment to even train an experienced nurse to a unit. And so the idea is, like, how can we keep those really good people? And I tell people, I'm like, look, when you as an employee feel like you are valuable and that your organization invests in you as not only a profession, nursing in general, but also as an individual, and you feel like I am valuable and you're willing to do a lot, go that extra mile, and your loyalty to that place is very different. And so, you know, I 100% agree with you that there's lots of tools out there now. You don't have to have your MBA necessarily to make a really good proposal. And so why would we not go about it and do it in a way that shows that, hey, I'm a nurse, but I'm a professional nurse. So here's my proposal.
And you're a systemic thinker, right? I think that nurses have to show that we look at patients holistically, right?
Yeah.
We also have the ability to look at healthcare and the institution in which we work holistically, right? So if you want something or you feel like there's a benefit, it's so beneficial for us to draw the line, connect the dots to a lot of different areas. Whether or not you're saying, look, if you did this, imagine if there was a PR release and the press release says such and such healthcare system invests in its nurses by paying for all nurses to get their certifications in their respective specialties. First of all, that looks amazing from just a retention recruitment perspective, right? Nurses are like, wait, what? And if you're a patient, okay, what patient doesn't want to go to a hospital where the nurses, by and large, are certified? I know I would. If I'm a patient, I'd be like, wait a minute. This system pays for their staff to get certified in their specialties so that if I end up at that hospital, there's a good chance that a fair percentage of the nurses that are taking care of me in whatever department I end up in have an extra level of education, have an extra investment in their specialty, and that they have an appreciation from their healthcare system into them. So I'm probably going to get better care.
You're saying everything that I've read in white papers and in journals. So it's like you read them. It's like you've aggregated all of that proof basically that says it really does have that trickle down effect. And if we can connect the dots, if we can show that it not only impacts nurses and the way that they see themselves, but also the way patients see them, the way that physicians and providers interact with them. There's something to showing that big picture, like you said, that I really think can make a difference when you're making these proposals and you're talking to your leaders about how they can, you know, help support, how they can help to move that needle, as you said earlier, on professional development for their staff. And I love this idea that nurses do need to be systemic thinkers. We need to take what we do for patients, which is, you know, not only looking at them physically, but thinking about them as a whole person, you know, mentally, psychologically, emotionally, you know, spiritually. They are whole people, and we should approach them with our care as such. And then we should also take that and apply it to our profession, and that we touch so many areas within the healthcare system, not just directly to patients, but we're tied into most ancillary departments in some way, shape, or form. We should always be included in committees where they're making decisions about facilities, because again, we have a lot of input that we can have and a perspective that needs to be heard. And so I look at certification and I go, yes, this is a way for you to gain confidence because you've been found to be competent in your specialty. And that confidence will be translated in lots of ways, the care that you give to patients, but also in the way that you talk about your profession and the way that you present yourself, maybe in a community article. When you were talking, Kara, I was like, man, she's basically saying, talking about some of our, so we have BCN awards every year, national certification champions. And these are hospitals and facilities that are supporting certification in real ways, in real tangible ways with their staff, and they're showing results. And the amount of nurses that are getting certified and staying certified in the ways that it's impacting their bottom line as a facility. And I think it's really cool to highlight those every year because some of them are doing things that are different, new ways. One hospital has a huge wall where they celebrate every single nurse who gets certified and they have their name on the wall. And then when people are walking past, whether it be patients or visitors or other nurses, they can see their colleagues and coworkers and recognize that, man, we're surrounded by people who are just pushing themselves professionally. And I think it's very inspiring. And like I said, there's multiple ways with which they're doing that. I love that our organization is not only curious about what people are doing, but then wants to highlight that. And so as you were talking about this hypothetical facility that we're building and proposing things to, I'm like, man, they could be a national certification champion. Get your data together and get things going. And we would love to highlight that because it can be not only a thank you for the hard work that you're doing, which I think is important that we show gratitude when we see people doing really awesome things, but then it can also be inspiration for people who are thinking about, man, I'd love to talk to my leader about this. Wow, I just read about this facility that's doing this, and this is what they've been able to do. Hey, now you have some more support for the argument that this is worthwhile for you to invest in. So yeah, I love that. And like I said,
that's so cool.
We could get on a lot of tangents.
We're going to fix this problem. I mean, essentially. I mean, really, most podcast interviews that I have, we've already solved all the problems of the world within an hour.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, you know, at nurse.com, we have top workplaces that has like the nurse.com logo, and it's like top workplaces nurse.com for nursing. And hey, I mean, there's no reason that we can't start to include facilities that, oh, I don't know, pay for certification. Maybe that, huh?
Sounds like a good idea to me. I mean, if I was a nurse looking for a job, which I'm not, but if I was, I would love to know, and I have asked in interviews before, so what do you guys do to support, you know, nurses that have been at the facility a long time, who are new to the facility? I mean, the tough part is that a lot of times in nursing, the draw of organizations is to attract the nurse in, like, you know, sign-on bonuses, mm-hmm. et cetera. Like, you know, the red carpet is rolled out because, again, you know, we're in pretty high demand as far as a profession. So I, you know, that's always okay. And then the follow-up question should be, so what do you do to keep nurses here? So like once we're here, what is the investment on the other side? So that way we can both grow together. Because I'm here as an employee to help grow the business of healthcare and to take care of your most important person, which is your patients and their families. Like, that's my job. And I'm going to continue to help move that forward. And what will you do so that way I can continue to grow? Because we've got to be growing together. Otherwise, one of us is dying. So who's that going to be? So I agree.
Right.
I agree with you, Kara.
Absolutely. Well, this is exciting. So if people are interested, okay, and they want to learn more, first and foremost, if you go to thenurse.com/podcast and you look at this episode, we always put links. We know that you're jogging, walking your dog, driving. We do not want you getting distracted while you're driving to write something down. So please don't worry. We will make sure to have it listed on the podcast landing page. But if it's easy enough to remember, where are some places that people can go in order to find more information about BCEN?
Absolutely. So our website is really easy. It's bcn.org, and it'll drop you in on our landing page. And there, from there, you can navigate to various different sections. If you're interested in learning more about certifications, there's whole different landing pages for that, even directed down into which specialty of certification you would want to know more about. So you can go there for that. I did talk to you about the nurse journey. So there are some resources on the website to help you kind of navigate, like, maybe I'm not really sure exactly where I'm at or where what I should do next. So that can kind of give you a little bit of a roadmap. There's also, if you're a leader or you're someone who's trying to garner support for specialty certification within your organization, we have resources for that. We have white papers and research that is connected to BCN. So there's things out there. If you're like, man, I know they're going to want some numbers. I know they're going to want some data points. Perfect. We're happy to help with what we have. And if worst comes to worst, you're like, Holly, I am just not that person who wants to go to a website. Like, I want to, you know, I want to talk to a human. Perfect. You can call us. We have a great customer service team, and they can navigate you within moments to where and who on our team would be best for you to talk to. And then we can, hey, at that point, if you're like, man, I need this and I need this and I need this, great. We'll get your email. We can send clips and links and, you know, tag you and all of that. I will say that most people are pretty internet savvy. So the website is probably going to be where most people would end up. But if you're also the person like, man, I just want to talk to somebody, I have a very specific question. Hey, call us. We have our 1-800 number. We're ready at all times for you to call, and we will get back with you. If we don't know the answer, we'll figure it out together. Because at the end of the day, like, we support nurses. We support nurses who are seeking to grow the profession, and we want to be a partner in that. So however we can, we're here for it.
I love it. I love it. Well, for sure, we'll make sure that on the landing page, you're going to be able to find the website, bcen.org, and we'll make sure that the phone number is there for those of you who don't like to go to a website. No problem.
I am a phone caller. Like, if I can...
Me too.
If I can call somebody, I'm going to do that more than send them an email. Like, it's just real. I feel like I'm going directly to the source, so...
I am the same way. And for those of you who are thinking about making that investment proposal for your organization, don't forget that, like, you can even upload those white papers from bcen.org. So all of that information that you find, if you don't want to have to, you know, weed through it and find all of the relevant data, ChatGPT going to do it for you.
Kara, there are constantly people, I've had people ask me, both nurses and outside of healthcare, they say, aren't you worried that AI is going to take your job? And I'm like, it's very clear to me that you've never used AI, because once you use it, you realize while it is a great tool, and I do think we shouldn't be afraid of tools, we should learn how to use it and use it appropriately and use it well, like be smart about it.
Yep.
But don't be afraid. It's not going to replace you.
Let it work for you. Yeah. Let it work for you. I totally agree. And in this situation, it can definitely help, you know, move the needle and help get you in front of the right people and get the outcomes that you want, which is essentially for your employer to invest in you. So I have enjoyed this so much, Holly. This has been so fun.
No, thank you, Kara. I appreciate you guys having me on and having a chance to share not only my story about how I kind of got to where I am, but also I hope that it came across that I'm really passionate about nursing. I'm really passionate about the professional nurse, and I'm very passionate about certification. And so hopefully all of that kind of came together. If not, hopefully you'll catch it in the editing and make me sound good. Okay, Kara? So thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much. It was so great having you. Until next time. If you're a nurse or nursing student that enjoyed this episode, visit us at nurse.com/community, where you can find the NurseDot discussion group, a place where we dissect each episode in detail and delve deeper into today's topics. NurseDot is a nurse.com original podcast series. Production, music, and sound editing by Dawn Lunsford. Production coordination by Rhea Wade. Additional editing by John Wells. Thank you to all the listeners for tuning in to the NurseDot podcast. Until next time, keep spreading the love and the care.